All right, welcome to another Apex Vaulting podcast. Thanks for joining us. This is episode 117. Before I continue, if you enjoy the podcast, please like it, subscribe, share it with someone that you think would find it valuable. Leave a comment if it's on YouTube. Leave a review if it's on Apple Podcasts. And if you have any questions or you need help with your pole vault training or you need some pole vault advice, please email us at apexvaulting@gmail.com. For those of us that follow the podcast and listen to episode 116, we talked about drill variation, how important drill variation is in your pole vault training. So just a quick review of that, if you're doing the same progressions over and over, right? We talked about the rule of adaption. Your body stops to adapt to that process. It plateaus and you might even slightly decline, right? So you want to have some drill variation and progressions. I want to build off of that conversation and talk about some other concepts and things to think about when you're thinking about how to coach athletes, or if you're an athlete, how to plan your training, right? Now, I also talked about the concept of the micro versus the macro, right? Micro is small and macro is big, right? So if we think about it with pole vault training, right? When we discuss micro, right? We might be talking about a singular practice session or even a season, right? The longer you're in the pole vault, longer you coach or the longer that you train, you might even look at the season as kind of a micro, right? And then the macro is at least a season or actually multiple years. And you might be planning out, okay, what do I need to introduce into my training or introduce to my athlete's training this year, next year? Like, what are the plans? For myself, as I continue to coach and train athletes, we have more and more systems in place. Like, obviously, we have a way that we introduce a new athlete into the system at Apex to teach them the warm-ups and the drill progressions that we have. But even when you think about multiple years of training, we have a way of like introducing certain concepts or progressions or systems with an athlete as they start. First things first, you're dealing with someone new. You have to teach them the pole vault, right? And I always think about stuff like pole speed first. They have to learn pole speed. Then they have to learn how to swing, they turn, right? So really, really fundamental drills, foundations, they have to learn those skills of the vault first. Then we start to have an approach of like, okay, let's see what they can handle grip-wise, pole-wise at certain runs. This is probably all happening within the first year of training. We start to implement strength and conditioning, but at a very basic fundamental level. Like, they're learning the lifts, they're doing them technically sound, obviously no injury, we're trying to avoid injury. Then as the years progress, strength and conditioning, just strength becomes more important. Now the pole vault technique becomes more refined. And then as we go on in years, even the strength and conditioning starts to become more refined. The technique starts to become more refined. And obviously I could go into the weeds and talk about that, but I want to talk about a couple other topics. Like I said, we talked about drill variation. Also, let's kind of talk about long run versus short run. Now, I touched upon this in the last episode and I've talked about it over the years, right? If you have been listening to my comment, I have a huge preference, or I lean towards the short run. And I actually posted tweets last week about this, right? I'm just going to read you the tweets. Here we go. I put, if the goal is to work on tempo and timing at full approach, how many can you do at full speed? Right? Because I often hear people say, hey, Bronco, I want to do my long run because I want to get the timing down. Well, the answer to that question is you can do very few at full speed. Going past like 7 full approach jumps, they are at sub-maximal speed. And even 7 jumps, it depends on the athlete. But like, if you're at a full approach, whether that's 7, 8, 9 lefts, how many of those jumps can you do, right, before it's not at top speed? I think maybe like your first 2, 3 jumps, you're kind of working up to your max grip and pull in the session. You might be able to take another jump or two there, and then you start to decline, right? So therefore, the tempo and timing, your training is sub-maximal. The tempo and timing, the rhythm is not at top speed. So it's really pointless. You're not training the timing for what's going to happen at a meet. So what's the point? Now, some people may be like, well, I want to get my technique down from a full approach. Here's the thing. If you want to train the technical aspects of the jump, you could do way more short approaches at maximal effort. As an example, think about track workouts. Which can you get more reps of at maximal effort and good technique? 30-meter sprints or 150s? I mean, think about, you know, your general population. Like, you go to a random high school track team, man, you might struggle to find many athletes that can do more than one or two high-quality 150s. I'm talking about good time, really top speed effort, and the form looks great. I don't think you're going to find a lot of athletes that can duplicate that. Not saying that's not something you want to work towards. Just like even here at Apex, even though we avoid long runs, the better an athlete is, the more training years they have under their belt, the more 5, 6, and maybe even 7 lefts they can do, depending on what their long run is. But obviously their long run is even further than. Finally, I tweet out, so you can get far better technique by doing shorter approaches just by the fact that you can get more high quality reps in. In addition, the short runs are less taxing to the athlete, which does less damage, which allows for quicker recovery time and more practice sessions. Now, think about that. We know at the end of the day, right? You want, and you're going to get the quality, but you need reps, right? So if you can only do X number of long run days, let's just argue one. I was saying in the last podcast, you probably only get away with one long run day, but let's say you're trying to squeeze two. Great. You could potentially get 3, maybe even 4, heck, 5, depending on how trained the athlete is and how much they can handle, reps of short runs, you know, depending on and varied short runs, right? So you're just by the reps alone, you're going to help your athlete get better. Then on top of it, like I'm saying in these tweets, you're going to be able to get far more high quality technical vaults in from shorter run. Again, I know there's people out there listening that might be like, yeah, but Bronco, how do I know what my grip's going to be from a long run? How do I know what pole I'm going to be on from a long run? I'm going to give you an extreme example. I one time heard about a coach who did a private lesson with an athlete, and they were using a crossbar. Fine. I mean, we can go into whether or not to use crossbar in a practice session. I know everybody likes to debate that. But let me tell you why they were using the crossbar. This coach and athlete were trying to figure out where the standard should be for this particular athlete in the meet they were going to compete in a week. Here's my thing. Let's just say, for argument's sake, let's say you figured out in that practice session, you know what? Really looking at it, standard should be at 65. Well, what happens if the athlete's faster at the meet? Now you might need to move the standard back. Or what if they're slower and you need to move them in? What if it's raining that day? There's so many variables where it's like, what? That doesn't matter. Because here's the thing too. I feel like also athletes get into this mode and coaches get into this mode where they're like, I know this grip and pull means X bar, right? And as an example, I was at Nationals one year in Division III, and I saw an athlete come down, and this athlete was going to a school where I'm friendly with the coach. So I was standing next to coach. We're kind of BSing during the meet. And his athlete comes down. She blows through, big blow through. She's on a 13-135. You got to go up pull. I mean, the pole really bent a lot. She landed super deep in the pit. Got to go up. Next pull up is a 13-7-130. So that's the equivalent of a 13-40, right? So she blew through a 13-35, and now she's got to go on a 13-7-30. It's a 5-pound jump. This is a very reasonable jump. And girl comes over, and the coach is like, hey, you know, I really think we should go up a pole. And the athlete was like, I don't know. You know, she's getting nervous, right? And I was like, dude, you really blew through that. I would definitely go up. And she looked even more nervous. And the coach was like, all right, yeah, go ahead. Try one more in the 13-35. This is her last attempt, by the way. This is her last attempt. And she comes down the runway, and I even noticed she tried to back off the run a little bit, still blew through. Still blew through. So now imagine, right, if you're practicing and you figure out whatever combo at practice, like the grip, the pole, all right, this is what's going to work at the meet. Well, what happens when you blow through? Do you really want to be in the position of the athlete that I just described where now you're not willing to go up a pole because you've never been on it? Whereas, again, on the opposite end of the spectrum, okay, let's say your athlete only goes as far back as fives in practice, right? One, they're going to be sharp. You're going to be able to get more volume of fives in. The technique is going to be good. And let's say you figure out, just for argument's sake, let's say you figure out with this athlete, okay, she can handle a 13.25 from a five and she's gripping 11.3. Well, you know, when you go to the meet, whether you're going to go to a six or seven left, you know, whatever the case may be, I would suggest never going back more than two lefts from what you're doing in practice. And maybe, you know, you want to like massage that in, like maybe the first meet you try six and then the next meet you go to a seven, or two meets at a six and then go back to the seven. But regardless of the case, you know already, okay, well, 11.3 grip, 13.25 works from the five. That's gonna be super easy. We could even start there if we're trying to like really ease into it, you know, nice and casual so that the person can be technical in warmups at the meet. And then you just work your way up from there. I would, you know, as a coach, you're gonna get at least a 10% bump in performance, right? So the grip's gonna go up at least 10%. The pole's gonna go up at least 10%. It's somewhere in that range. You might even get bigger return, right? So this is what you have to, and you have to start to get your athlete to understand that. It's not about, I don't want to get used to a grip or a pole, right? It's like, imagine 100 meters. It's like, you don't want to get used to a speed. You're always trying to run faster, right? We're trying to PR. If you're lifting in the weight room, you don't want to get used to a weight. Hey, if the weight moves easily, you know you can go up 5-10 pounds. That's the same thing you want to do in the pole vault, right? So this is where it's like, hopefully you can see what I'm talking about with the long run versus the short run when you're talking about practice sessions, right? And why you want to try to avoid doing lots of long runs. You're going to get more volume of jumps in from the short run. It's going to be more technical. And you know, as a coach, and after you do this a few times, I'm telling you, because I know some coaches are like, I've never tried that before. I'd rather just do the long run in practice. Just try it. Give it a shot. You're going to be shocked at the results you're going to get, because I think your athletes are going to become more capable of going up poles and grips in at meets. Poles and grips that they never even tried, and they're not going to have a problem, because in practice they're always used to get landing in the pit, landing deep, moving the pole, and so they know if like, hey, if I feel this kind of pole speed, I can easily go up 5 pounds, or I can easily go up a grip. So you're going to train that in the athlete, and they're going to become more comfortable going up poles and grips at the meets. This brings up my next topic before I go to my main thing that I want to kind of discuss today, pole speed versus pole bend. I've also tweeted about this. You know, what do you want to train in your athletes? What do you want them to become aware of? Pole speed versus pole bend. I think I touched upon this a little bit in the last podcast, so I don't want to spend too much time with it. But this kind of goes along with what I'm saying with the short runs. You want the athlete to become aware of pole speed, because pole speed never lies. Pole bend does. Again, we've all seen, or maybe even hopefully not, but like maybe have felt this, pole bends a lot, you feel good, so you swing, but you don't move the pole, and so you land short. You don't want athletes being hypersensitive to pole bend. They should always be vaulting in a very similar fashion, whether that pole bends a lot or it doesn't. They've got to focus on pole speed. They've got to learn how to move the pole, and they've got to be aware of how well the pole is moving. And that is their indicator of whether or not to swing. Even at Apex, like I try to avoid, I always tell athletes, don't look at the bungee. Don't look at the box. Look straight ahead. It gives you better spatial awareness. Focus on trying to feel the pole speed. As an example, away from pole vault, I mean, think about it. The best quarterbacks in the NFL, they feel the rush. They don't stare at the line and see if a defensive lineman is getting through. They feel it around them, and they're very aware of when to get rid of that ball. Where a pole vaulter needs to be able to feel the pole speed. They can't literally be like, okay, yes, I'm getting close to the bungee. Now I should swing, or now I should go full jump. You know, they have to feel the pole moving. So I think it's very important. That's a critical piece, right? Now, I want to address a very, very important topic. I think a lot of times, especially when we're talking about starting out in the pole vault or starting out a new club or starting out with a new coach, right? You may feel like you're experiencing really good practices. And that's something called beginner gains, right? That only happens at the start. And it kind of tricks you into thinking that that's normal. Here's the thing. Excellent practices, if we're all being honest, are few and far between. Maybe some of you out there are like, wait, Bronco, I think you're sounding negative. I think you should have lots of excellent practices. But let's talk about something, right? I think what's really confused a lot of people about a topic like this is think about school and think about grades, right? A, B, C, D, F, right? Well, an A is supposed to mean excellent. A B means good. A C is average. D is below average. And F is poor, right? You're failing. Well, if you think about the meaning of those words, right? Like average, what does that mean? What does good mean? What does excellent mean? And what should most people be getting as a grade? So I drew a little bell curve over here. And if you notice on both ends, right, poor, excellent, there's very few people getting poor and excellent. And the average is here. Most people should be average, right? That's literally what average means. Then it's like, okay, well, you know, some people are going to be good. There's fewer people are good and very few people excellent. There should be fewer people that are below average and even fewer people that are poor. Problem is, let's face it, today's day and age, people that go to school, A has become good, B is really average, and C is like fail. We don't even have below average anymore. It's just C is fail. And D and F, that's like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what that is, right? I mean, literally, most kids, if they go home and tell their parents they get a C, like, parents are pissed, right? And so this is the thing. We've kind of changed what those words mean. But the problem is, once an athlete has now gone through the beginner stages of working with a coach or being introduced in the pole vault, where, like, think about it. You go to your first meet, you PR 7 feet. You're never going to PR 7 feet again. That's never going to happen. Like, you're not going to jump 14, your second, right? So the thing is, we think we're going to get excellent very often, but that's not really what's going to happen. Most of your practices are going to be average. Like this past month, it was awesome. We had a new person come in. They're you know, they've vaulted one season at their high school, and she's going through our practice, and we're about a month in, and she's really been working on not just technique but also strength, right? She came in, you know, pull-ups were very hard. She can finally do a chin-up now. She's getting a close-up pull-up, you know, doing a lot of the TRX rows, stuff like that. She's also doing great with her protein intake. We've obviously been doing a lot of takeoff swing drills. We're starting to incorporate the turn. And she comes in and it kind of clicks, and she had an excellent practice. She's starting to go full jump, wrap bungees. This was awesome. Like, I was pumped. She was pumped. Next practice, she comes in. What's her expectation? She wants another excellent practice. And by all rights, it was better. She wrapped a higher bungee, but she was disappointed because it didn't feel as great as that excellent practice, right? And I stopped everybody and explained this idea of what is excellent, good, and average? What are those things? And what should our expectation level be? I think coaches need to do a better job of letting athletes know what to expect. If you expect to come into every practice thinking, hey, I'm going to PR and grip 3 to 6 inches. I'm going to PR and pole stiffness, go up 5-10 pounds. I'm going to wrap a foot higher bungee every single practice. That's just not going to happen. Because most practices, think about the meaning behind average, good, and excellent. Most of your practices are going to be average. And you might even get a couple sprinkles of below average and poor, but that ultimately leads to the excellent practice and hopefully an excellent performance at a meet. So we have to get the athletes to understand and expect that, yes, most of my practices will be average. But by me continuing to put together these average practices that aren't, don't make me feel like a rock star. I would even argue you're a little bit going through the motions, right? Like maybe you don't even feel like going to practice that day, but you get your butt into practice, you get through the warm-up, you do the drills, you really focus, you try to figure it out. It's really difficult. You're getting a little bit frustrated. And then you know what? Even though you're frustrated, you still do your strength work. You keep getting stacking those average. You will get to the good and excellent practice. You will get to the good and excellent performance. You know, I was talking to a coach on the phone today, and we were talking about, you know, let's say a new athlete calls you up. And this is for people who are running pole vault clubs now, you know, but it can also apply to a high school college coach, you know, to, again, set up that expectation that the athlete needs to have. So, you know, a coach calls me and he's like, yeah, you know, I'll have people call up and they just want to drop in for a practice. And what I told the coach is, let's be honest, pole vault is a very technical event. And just like everything else in life, it takes time to master it. It takes time to improve. What is the point of a drop-in practice? How good or how much improvement can you have if you drop in for a practice like once every other week or once a month? It's just not going to happen, you know? And especially think about it, like if I come once a month, how much of that skill and knowledge am I retaining when I come back to the next practice? Not very much. So the thing is, we have to explain to athletes, that's not a plan. That's not a system that's going to work for you long-term and lead you to those excellent practices, right? And especially as a coach, right? I think when I talk to many coaches, that what do they always want? Like, hey, I want my athletes to jump higher. I want my athletes to win counties. I want them to win states. I want them to win the conference meet. I want them to qualify for nationals. They want their athletes to get better. Well, then you need more reps. You need more consistency. And if we do a better job of explaining to athletes this idea that, yes, I understand that not every practice is going to be excellent, but if you're willing to grind through the average practices, we can get to the excellent. But if you think you're going to do this like once in a blue moon, how good are you going to get? How are you going to get to that excellence? It's just not possible. And it's not realistic. Think about anything else in life. Anything else in life that you're going to get good at. If you want to have a good relationship with someone, if you want to be a good parent, if you want to get good grades, if you want a good job, if you want a promotion, you've got to work hard and you've got to do things sometimes that aren't always fun. And pole vault's no different. I mean, listen, I think pole vault is extremely fun. I think it's exciting. And the way I always describe it to people, I think pole vault is a great motivator because it is a fun event. You want to jump higher. And then all of a sudden it almost forces you to do some things that you might not want to do, like pull-ups or a workout or whatever, go for a jog or eat healthier foods, make better decisions, get more sleep, right? Now you're like, oh, I got practice tomorrow. I don't want to stay up late. I'm going to go to bed early, make sure I get sleep and, you know, eat a good breakfast. So I'm ready for practice, right? So pole vault's a great motivator, but still at the end of the day, not every practice is going to be excellent. So if we could set different expectations for our athletes and ourselves, right? If you're an athlete listening to this and you're like, you know, I really want to PR this year. You know, let's say it's my senior year of high school and I really like to jump in college next year, or I'm a senior in college and I really like to place at conference or win conference or qualify for nationals, right? You have to set the expectation for yourself that, okay, I'm not always going to want to go to practice. I'm not always going to want to do the drills. I'm not always going to want to lift the weights, but I need to be willing to go through these average practices so I can achieve my excellent goal, right? We should all have excellent goals, 100%. Because I don't want anybody listening to this to be like, oh, is Bronco telling me to be average? No. But you got to be willing to do the average stuff to become excellent, right? It's amazing to me if you really think about it. You listen to anyone that's ever done anything great. take a Mondo as an example, right? I think a lot of people in the pole vault world look to Mondo. And I think obviously everybody loves watching world record jumps, and they probably love whatever he's posting on Instagram and all that kind of stuff. What they don't realize is this guy has been jumping since 5 or 6 years old. And this is a personal experience I remember having. I was at Reno with one of my high school athletes and a bunch of college and high school athletes, but one of my high school athletes, she wanted to take a picture with Mondo. Mondo was 10 years old at the time. His PR was 10 at the time. And he jumped at Reno and he didn't PR. And I still have this picture. You know, I'm going to post it on Instagram so everybody can see this. But, you know, my high school athlete, she looks so pumped to take a picture with Mondo, and Mondo looks miserable. He did not PR. He did not achieve his excellent goal for the day. And you know, as soon as they got home from Reno, you know that guy was cranking. Mondo was cranking. He has that in him where he is willing to do what probably most other people are not willing to do. And that's why he's jumping what he's jumping, right? If you want to achieve an excellent goal, you've got to be able to go through the average, go through the grind to build up to that excellence. All right. I think that's as much time as I have. And maybe I gave you guys a lot to think about today because we did go over a lot of different things. Again, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast or watching it on YouTube. And like I said, if you enjoy it, please subscribe, leave a comment, share it with a friend. And if you have any comments or questions or you need help with your pole vault training, please email us at apexvaulting@gmail.com. Thanks so much.